We're so glad to be here. I give honor to Pastor Myers for the invitation and his vision surrounding WINS Conference. And I believe our movement is better because of this meeting. And there are two places that when I was 15 years old and God called me to preach, there are two places that as a teenager, I prayed a prayer years ago and I said, God, I don't even know if it's okay to ask this, but if you would ever allow me to preach at Christian Life Center in Stockton, California, and at the Pentecostals of Sydney in Sydney, Australia, I would really appreciate that. God, that would be a dream come true. And little did I know that in March of 2024, 15 years later, I'd be standing behind the pulpit at the Pentecostals of Sydney. And on July 12th, I will marry my future wife, who is from Christian Life Center in Stockton, California. You know, God's cool like that. He's cool like that. If you'll just ask him, there's no telling what he'll let you have. He's a good God. He's a good God. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I feel right at home. Can we lift our hands one more time and let's lift our voices? Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn your attention to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Going to read a few verses. I'll try not to take too much of your time reading, and I'll allow you to be seated as quickly as possible. Exodus 3 and verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And verse number 13 said, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now I want to look at chapter 9, Exodus chapter 9 and verse 13. Moses marches into that court of Pharaoh with a revelation of the name of his God. And says, I am sent to you by that name to let the people of God go. God raises up a resistance. Everybody say resistance. God raises up a resistance in Pharaoh, and Pharaoh does not let God's people go. Verse 13 in Exodus 9, And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people. And watch this, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. It was this resistance that led to a global revelation of who the true God really was. And so I want to talk to you today about the place of revelation. The place of revelation. Now, I understand it's the 9:15 service, and maybe some of you might have the mindset, well, we've got one more shot at this, so we're just going to hear a good Bible study, and then we'll get geared up for the second service. I don't think that's what the Holy Ghost wants here today. So if you would, one more time, all over the house, would you lay your Bibles down, and would you just make a point of contact with somebody? And I'm asking this place to lift your voice and let's thunder here for the next few moments with prayer and with expectation. If you have the Holy Ghost, would you begin to lift your voice and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost? Now, would you clap your hands unto the Lord all across this building? And would you mix your voice and somebody just shout with a voice of triumph? Amen. God bless you. You can be seated here this morning. When you look in the book of Acts, you'll find out a pattern that God instituted, and that is that in the book of Acts church, there was an expansive nature to the book of Acts church. It began in Jerusalem, and it expanded unto Judea and Samaria until eventually it reached the uttermost parts of the earth. But before it could expand beyond the location of Jerusalem, they had to pass the test of Jerusalem. That is the way that kingdom expansion works. That is the way that the increase of dominion and authority works. Before God will trust you with the next level of authority, you have to pass the test at the current level of authority. And so before he would trust them with Judea and Samaria and the uttermost, they had to pass the test of Jerusalem. God has a way of giving us glimpses of where we're going before we get there. He gives us prophetic insight of what we are going to possess before he allows us to completely possess it. That's why when Elijah came and he brushed Elisha with the mantle, Elisha had to make the decision Am I going to stay here and be satisfied with what I currently have? Or am I going to forsake what I currently have and pursue the thing that I do not yet possess? Before God would trust him with the burden of the mantle, he had to test him with the brush of the mantle. Because God gives you glimpses of where you're going before you get there. That's why those spies went into the promised land and they came back with a cluster of grapes. God had to test them with a vine before he could trust them with the vineyard. We often want a greater level of authority before we pass the test of the vine. If you want to possess the vineyard, you must pass the test of the vine. And this is a church that is not just a church focused on a city. You're not just focused on Jerusalem, but you're focused on Judea. And you're not just focused on Judea, you're focused on Samaria. And you're not just focused on Samaria, but you are reaching for the uttermost parts of the world. And in prayer this morning, I felt like the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, tell them that they have passed the test of the vine and that they are closer to possessing the vineyard than what they realize. So dominion and authority is incremental. Right now, we live in the dispensation of grace. But there will come a day where this dispensation of grace comes to an end. And we will step into the dispensation of the kingdom. And the redeemed will return with Jesus Christ to rule and reign with him on the earth for 1,000 years. And with that in mind, we have to understand that everything God gives us in this dispensation is a test for what God will trust us with in the next dispensation. Jesus spoke about this in Luke 19, because in Luke 19, the Bible said that he spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. And they thought that the kingdom should come immediately. They thought that the kingdom would immediately appear. His disciples had a misunderstanding about this kingdom that he had been preaching about for the 3.5 years that they had been following him. They thought that there was going to come a day that the Roman government was overthrown and that the kingdom would be restored back to them in a natural and an earthly sense. But dominion and authority is not gained immediately. Dominion and authority is gained incrementally. And so he spake to them a parable concerning this millennial kingdom. And he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That is a picture of Jesus Christ ascending into the heavens. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Those 10 pounds are the authority that he was testing them with in his absence. He gave them these 10 pounds to see, what will you do with this when I'm not around? The Bible goes on to say that his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, that is a picture of Jesus Christ coming back to rule and reign on the earth with the redeemed for 1,000 years. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given them money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And this is not a church that is just taking the pound that God has given them and burying that pound because they don't believe that they can have global revival and this be an epidemic.
epicenter of that global revival, but this is a church that is taking that pound that God has given them, and you are multiplying everything that God has tested you with. What if I told you that this is a church that will be trusted with not one city, but 10 cities when we rule and reign with him in the earth? So the only way to do this is to continue to expand and enlarge the apostolic footprint in our cities, because every person that is filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus is not just some converted soul that sits on the pew, but they are ambassadors for Christ. And everywhere that you put your foot outside of this building, you are claiming territory for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because he sent his disciples with power and authority. A lot of times we use those words as though they're interchangeable and have the same meaning, but they're not. Power in the Greek is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite, and it literally means the ability to complete a task. But he did not just send them with power, he sent them with authority, which is exousia in the Greek, and that is speaking to a realm or a sphere of influence. It speaks to an area of jurisdiction. It speaks to the right that you have to rule in the area that God has sent you. In other words, God did not just send you to Sydney, Australia with power, but he sent you with permission to use that power. He didn't just send you to Sydney, Australia to plant satellite campuses out from under this building, but he gave you permission to plant satellite campuses out from under this building. So in theology, there is a principle known as the already but not yet principle. And one example of this is we have the earnest of our inheritance. When God filled us with the Holy Ghost, he did not give us the fullness of our inheritance. He gave us the earnest of our inheritance. We already have the earnest of our inheritance, but we do not yet have the fullness of our inheritance. And another way that this applies is with these dispensations, the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the kingdom. We already have kingdom dominion, but we do not yet operate in the kingdom dispensation. And so whenever God filled us with the Holy Ghost, what he did is he reached into the next dispensation and he grabbed power from the kingdom and he brought it back in time into this dispensation and distributed it to people in the apostolic church. That's why Paul was able to say, we have tasted, or the writer of Hebrews was able to say, we have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's why John was able to say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, because the power that we have did not originate in this world. It is power from another world. That's why you've got authority to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. That's why you've got power over every demonic force in this region. Those are powers of this world. But when Jesus filled you with the Holy Ghost, he did not give you power from this world. He gave you power from the next world. Somebody ought to clap their hands and shout if you believe that's who you are in the apostolic church. So it is the already but not yet principle. We do not yet live in the kingdom dispensation, but we already have kingdom dominion. And there are pictures that were painted throughout the Bible concerning this kingdom that you and I are a part of. And in Daniel chapter 2, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he called for somebody to interpret that dream. And Daniel, a captive of the Hebrews, comes. And he begins to interpret that dream. And he says, Nebuchadnezzar, you had a dream. And he said, you saw this great and this terrible image. And this image was made of different metals and materials. And beginning at the head all the way down to the feet of the iron mixed with clay. He said these metals and these materials represent different subsequent earthly kingdoms. And those kingdoms are governed by the arm of man. But this kingdom is governed by the Spirit of the Lord. And he said, you saw these different subsequent earthly kingdoms until you saw a stone that was cut without hands. And that stone represents the kingdom of Jesus Christ, because Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected, because rejection and resistance is the place of revelation. And it was that stone that the builders rejected. And he said that stone came and it smote the feet of the iron mixed with clay. And he said there was a wind that blew, and it blew away all of those subsequent earthly kingdoms. But he goes on to say that that stone that was rejected, it may have started as a stone, but it began to grow until it was a mountain that filled the entire earth. And back in 1955, when a missionary by the name of Brother Hogue came to Sydney, Australia, and started this church, it may have started as a stone, but over the last 71 years, it has been growing into a mountain that fills the entire world. And then Nebuchadnezzar has a realization. I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me here for a moment. Nebuchadnezzar has a realization, and he says, now I know that your God is the God of gods. And then you look at Zechariah 14, and you can lay Zechariah 14 right on top of Daniel chapter 2. And God speaks through the prophet Zechariah, and he says, in that day of the Lord, I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. But little does the enemy know is that it is a setup for Jesus to get the glory. And when this madness of the Middle East, when the descendants of Ishmael begin to fight against the descendants of Isaac, and Palestine and Israel begin to fight one against another on national television, the leaders of the Middle East stood on the platform of the United Nations, and they said, we are unified in the effort to wipe Israel off the map. And that is prophetic. God is gathering all of these nations for battle against Jerusalem. But can I tell you, your God is so great that he will draw an enemy just to defeat an enemy. Because a place of resistance is a place of revelation. And the Bible goes on to say that in that moment, when all of those enemies are gathered together against Israel in Jerusalem, God will descend from heaven. Jesus will descend from heaven and plant his foot on that Mount of Olives. And the Bible goes on to say that in that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. The reason God draws an enemy is so that he can defeat an enemy. Can I tell you that in that day there will be only one God, and his name is Jesus. And at that name every knee must bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to say that again. It said there shall be one Lord and his name one. It didn't say there'd be three gods and his name three, but there's only one God and his name is Jesus. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. For in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. life. That life was the light of men. That light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt. Are there any one God people in this house? We might be rejected by the world, but the place of revelation is the place of rejection. Somebody ought to shout in this house if you believe that. You serve a great big God here today. I said, you serve a great big God here today. And we are the people of the name. But anytime there is a revelation of the name, there will always be resistance that meets that revelation. Because whenever Moses stumbled across that burning bush, he got a revelation nobody else had ever got before. The Lord spoke through that burning bush and said, Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. And whenever Moses got a revelation of the name of that Hebrew God, he marched into the court of Pharaoh and said, I am. Said, let my people go. But God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He raised up a resistance. And Moses comes back to God with frustration. And he says, why did you give me a revelation of the name if you were just going to raise up a resistance? And God spoke to him and said, Moses, what you don't understand is without this resistance, only Egypt would have known my name. But because of this resistance, the world is going to know my name. You want to know why you're met with resistance? You're not a Jerusalem church. You're a Judea church. You're a Samaria church. You're an uttermost church. You're not just trying to fill a building. You're trying to break the back of every strong man. Come on, I need somebody to get on board with me in this house right now. You ought to lift your voice and break the atmosphere with your shout. That's why you resisted. It's because God doesn't just want you to fill a building. And I thank God that you're doing that. But he wants you to plant churches all over this nation. And you're doing that. But he doesn't want you to just impact this nation. He wants you to impact the world. Can you imagine how great the revival will be whenever you really take Sydney with the kingdom of Jesus Christ? It will be noised abroad throughout the entire globe. And when you break that resistance, news of your last victory travels to your next enemy. When you break that resistance, news of your last victory travels to your next enemy. Because those spies marched into Jericho. Whenever that leadership was transferred from Moses to Joshua, and those spies are with Rahab the harlot, and this is what Rahab the harlot says. She said, we heard about the resistance that was broken back in Egypt. We heard about how your God parted the Red Sea. And because of that, there was no courage left in any man. And our hearts did melt within us. I want to awaken this church and let you know the enemy knows that you're coming. And you're not backing down. You're not going to retreat. But we are coming with everything that we've got. She said, there was no courage left in any man. And our heart did melt within us. And watch what she said. She said, now we know that your God is God in heaven above, and your God is God in the earth beneath. We read that and we pass over it. But you've got to understand what Rahab was saying. She was professing a paradigm shift in her culture. It was a shifting of cultural concepts. Because in Rahab's culture, there was no belief in a monotheistic God that had authority in the heavens and authority in the earth. They believed there were multiple gods that had authority in the heavens and multiple gods that had authority in the earth. But she said, because of that resistance that was broken back in Egypt, we got a revelation. There's only one God, and he's got authority in heaven, and he's got authority in the earth. Somebody ought to shout in this room right now, you don't just have authority in the natural, you've got authority in the spirit world. Come on, I need somebody to lift your voice and shout in this house. You don't just have authority in the natural, you've got authority in the spirit. That's why we push for praise so much in the church. Not so that you can give me a response, but so that you can pull down strongholds in the spirit. Because whenever God created Adam, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Whenever God created Adam, he said, Adam, I'm not just giving you dominion in one dimension. I'm giving you dominion in every dimension. He said, I give you dominion over the beasts of the field. That is the natural and the visible. But I also give you dominion over the fowls of the air. That is the supernatural and the invisible. Why do you think Jesus said, if you bind it on earth, that's the natural. It'll be bound in heaven. That's the supernatural. So whenever you dance, whenever you shout, whenever you clap, you're not just taking dominion in what you can see. You're taking dominion in what you can't see. Somebody ought to take authority in this house right now. We come against every enemy. We come against every opposition. We come against it now, and we're going to see the world's greatest revival. Why don't somebody shout for Melbourne right now? Why don't somebody shout for Brisbane right now? We're not here to fill a building. We're here to take a region. Do you know who you are? I really want to know, do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? God have mercy. Let me tell you who you are. Brother Green, the spirit world knows us. The spirit world knows us. True apostolic authority doesn't have to chase devils. Devils chase true apostolic authority. I've never gone looking for a fight, but if the devil wants one, I'll give it to him. I was preaching in Texas a few years ago, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And as I was reading my text, it was a Sunday morning, and there was a woman possessed with a devil. She jumped up out of her seat, and she ran up behind the pulpit and just stood there and stared at me, but I ignored her. The ushers came, and they grabbed her, and they sat her down. And she tried to make a scene and distract us from what God was wanting to do. And at the altar call, I walked by this woman after she had calmed down, and her eyes were closed. And as I walked by her, her eyes open, and she began to lunge at me and try to grab me, and I said, don't touch me. And she looked at me and she said, I know who you are. You have the spirit of John the Baptist, and I was sent here just for you. I ignored her and I went about praying for other people. I'm not gonna give the devil any attention. That woman had the nerve. That woman had the nerve to come back to church that night, and I began to preach that there's only one God, and I quoted the scripture, thou that believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, and she began to shake in her seat. She jumped up out of her chair, ran down the aisle, out the back doors, and never came back. Can I tell you, greater is he that is inside of you. That, boy, I feel faith in this house right now. You ought to shout and stomp on the devil's head. We're going to break every opposition in Sydney, Australia. I loose you right now to get wild in this house right now. Somebody dance. You ought to get out of your seat and go to spiritual warfare. You ought to get out of your seat and just dance in this house. Come on, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. You ought to get out of your seat and lose your mind. I'm not preaching about a Sydney revival. I'm preaching about Melbourne. I'm preaching about Brisbane. I'm preaching about Queensland. Somebody lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. But I'm going to tell you there's a pressure on us. And I've talked about this before, but there's a pressure on us to negotiate with the prince of our cities, to learn how to coexist with the strong man. And I want to encourage this church, because I understand there's a large charismatic presence right here in Sydney, Australia. And it has roots that are reaching the entire globe. But can I tell you that just because they have a large crowd does not mean that they are the stronger man of this area. Because whenever Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a bride, not a crowd. Even if the bride is the smaller crowd, I understand they might have a large number, but they are not the strong man. You want to know who the stronger man is? It's the one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking, apostolic holiness church. You're the stronger man. Well, I feel that resistance right there. You might not believe that, but I'm going to preach it until you do believe it. You are the stronger man, and I bind that opposition. I come against doubt and unbelief right now in Jesus' name. I just felt that angelic presence move into this room, Brother Morgan. I just felt it. Those angels are here with their swords, and they're ready to fight and set things at liberty that have been bound in this city. We're not here just to hold a conference. We're here to shake the spirit world. David marched into that valley, but you want to know why he marched into that valley? It's because there was a giant that was defying the armies of Israel. And he said, give me a man that we may fight. When nobody else would go, there was one boy by the name of David that marched into that valley. And the reason is because David understood, I'm not in Goliath's valley. Goliath is in my valley. Because 1 Samuel 17:1 said the valley belonged to Judah. The valley belonged to Judah. It belonged to the covenant people of God. And this is not the devil's Australia. This is God's Australia. And in 1953, the strong man of this city was saying, give me a man that we may fight. And missionary Brother Bogue came here and began to push back the powers of darkness. And he began to impact this entire nation. But can I tell you, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. Every hand raised, every eye closed all over this house. I want you to begin to make your way out of your seat. Hurry. Make your way out of your seat with your hands raised and your voice lifted. We're going to break some things in the spirit in this room. Cities that have been locked up in this nation are going to open from this service. Cities that have been locked up in this nation, they're going to be open from this service. That's it. Come on. That's it. When I count to three, hear me. When I count to three, I want you to lift your voice as loud as you can. You close your eyes and lift your voice and you go to battle in this room. We're going to turn this building not into a church service, but into a battlefield. There are cities that are locked up that are going to be opened up because of this service right here. You're going to go to battle in the Holy Ghost, and God's going to release angels from this building, and they are going to push back every opposition in those cities. Are you ready? By the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, we command every opposition to be broken. We command it to be pushed back in the name of Jesus. And we lose revival and a revelation of the name in Australia. 1, 2, 3, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Go. Go. You're breaking it. You're breaking it. Go. Go. Come on, don't stop. You got to lift your voice until it breaks. Go. Go.